Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
We have been, over the last probably month and a half or so, we've been looking at the freedoms that God gives us. Man, having things, you know, that freedom that you experience, like that, oh, I get to do this. This is good for me to do. That freedom that you enjoy in Christ. Sometimes it's important that we properly deal with the freedoms that Jesus gives us through His grace. Not just, and this is what I've been kind of looking at, right? 1 Corinthians has been, Paul has been teaching the Corinthian church family how important it is to see your freedoms in the proper perspective, to see them in the right way. One of the ways that we have to see our freedoms is in the perspective of how it's going to affect those around me. How does what I do help or hinder my brothers or sisters in Christ? That's one of the things we've been looking at. But also we've been seeing how it's important to see how my freedoms may hinder me, may disqualify me from showing those around me how good and how wonderful God is through how I obey Him, through how I trust Him, and through how I find satisfaction in Him. And so Paul has been reminding the Corinthian church family through the nation of Israel, guys, look at all the things that they did and how they messed up, and learn from them. This is the thing that we're seeing through Paul's conversation. The first thing Paul did, and this is what we looked at last week, is how much God had blessed them as they were leaving the land of Egypt and going to the land that God had promised them. Canaan is the land that God had promised them. Man, He gave them so much. Remember, the first thing we saw was how the cloud, how they, God had given them a cloud that gave them shade, that led them, that gave them light by night. It was an awesome thing that led them and helped them through their whole journey. He freed them from fear of the Egyptians, from their past life of slavery, by opening up the Red Sea, walls of water on both sides of them, and they walked through. And then God used that same water that freed them to destroy their enemy. They were free from slavery, no longer a slave to the past. And then He gave them a leader, Moses, a leader that would help them, that would intercede for them, that would walk with them. And He provided for them the whole way. Manna, bread from heaven. So good. Probably like French toast or pancakes. You know, it was amazing. And also along with bread, He gave them water to drink through the rock, and which was Jesus. It was an amazing thing that we saw how God had blessed them, right? And all this, as they're going to a land that God had promised them, a new home. And yet, this new home that God was going to provide them, all the blessings on the way, the children of Israel still often chose not to trust God, not to obey Him or find satisfaction in Him. It's like, man, if you were leaving from an old house, I don't know if there's anybody like this in this room, but like you had an old house and you get ready to move to a new house and like you get all this amazing thing. You're like, oh, this is a new house and amazing. And then you get to drive and all the way on the way to the new house, mom and dad stops at McDonald's, they get you ice cream, and then they go a little bit further, 7-Eleven, and they get you all kinds of fun snacks. Then you stop at the mall and you get you a bunch of fun toys for the new house, but the whole time you're going, you're whining and you're complaining and you're making mom and dad stop the car and don't make me turn this thing around because I'll turn it around, you know, that kind of thing. You know, that's basically what the children of Israel were doing the whole way there. And today we're going to look at the things that they did that Paul said they did this and it was not good. And so he's warning the Corinthian church family, guys, this is for your example. He says, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, he says this, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So Paul is saying, listen, guys, the Israelites messed up big time over and over and over. And so I don't want you to do that either. I don't want you to do that. So pay attention to what the Israelites did and don't walk the way they walked. So what did they do? How did they abuse the freedoms that God had given them? This is the whole focus. Don't let the freedoms that Jesus has given you, don't let your flesh tempt you from taking the freedoms of God so far, from taking them so far that instead of glorifying God through them, instead you end up being disqualified, unable to display the glory of God through your life with joy and peace that comes from following Jesus. Don't be somebody like that. So, this is what Paul is telling the Corinthian church. And remember, this is helpful for us to understand. Why is Paul telling us this? To help the Corinthian church family to not follow in the steps of Israel. And it came because of that one thing that they were requesting. Hey, Paul, we want to eat meat that was offered to idols. We think it's totally fine for us to do that. Idols are nothing. There's just like stones or wood or anything. There's really no God in them. So it should be totally fine for us to be able to eat this meat, right? And so their knowledge had made them confident that they were totally fine. There's no problem. They felt like they were not in any danger of doing anything wrong. But Paul warns them that they're actually on the edge of a spiritual cliff. They're in great danger of falling. You guys ever walked along the edge of a really steep cliff and then you're like not even paying attention and you look down and it's like, oh, that's scary. That's kind of like what the Corinthians were doing. They were walking along the edge of a cliff but not realizing where they were walking. And so Paul tells them, watch out, be careful. At the end of this section, Paul says this in verse 12, we're going to skip to the end. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Be careful of what you're doing. Be careful of where you're walking. Don't be so confident in the way that you walk that you don't realize you're on the edge of a spiritual cliff. So this is Paul's warning to them. There are several ways that the Israelites fell off a cliff. And we're going to look at that today. Several ways the Israelites fell off the cliff. And Paul's warning to help them to see how the Israelites fell off the cliff so that they wouldn't do the same thing. Verse 7 is where we start. Paul says, neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. The first thing that Paul warns the Corinthian church family is don't be idolaters. Think about this. Not long after Israel had left Egypt, they saw this amazing thing that God had did, right? Had done, right? They had seen the wave, the water part. They continue to see this cloud. They're still really enjoying all this amazing blessings of God with the manna from heaven every morning. It's an amazing thing to see. They come to a mountain, Mount Sinai. This mountain is really important because this is where God told Moses to come to the top of the mountain, and God was going to give him the commands for Israel to follow as a country who was set apart by him to glorify himself to the rest of Israel. You often think of, you know, the Ten Commandments. This is where God is about ready to give the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel. So Moses is at the top. He's spending time with God, but it's taking a long time. They're waiting and waiting and waiting. And while they're waiting, the people of Israel start to get restless. They start to get discontent. They're like, man, Moses is taking forever. This is just taking too long. You know what, Aaron? We're ready for a new God. Aaron, we want you to make us an image of God. They got tired of waiting for Moses. And so Aaron made them a calf of gold. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 4, it says this, and he received them all the gold at their hand, and he fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Guys, these are your gods who was able to bring you out of the lands of Egypt. Oh, that was terrible. Verse 6, and they rose up early on the morrow. They offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Literally, as God was at the top of the mountain telling Moses that giving the commands of the children of Israel not to worship idols made of hands, the children of Israel were at the bottom of the mountain doing the very thing that God was preparing to tell them not to do. But think about this. Think about where they were. They were in the middle of a desert. There are no idols around them to tempt them. There are no other places where they're going to come and get idols. They had to make their own idols. There was no temptation into idolatry, and yet they fell. They made their own idols. They messed up. They went back to the lifestyle that they had seen from others back in Egypt. And that failure led them to even more failures. The Bible says that they rose up to play. We know that's not hide and seek or Uno. It was very, very wrong things that they did. That failure of idol worship led to another kind of failure of immorality. Think of where the Israelites were. Now think of where the Corinthian church family was. In the city of Corinth, where idol worship is all around them. They are surrounded in idol worship. Even their meat shops were connected to idol worship. They were completely comfortable buying meat that was offered to idols. And they also seemed pretty comfortable eating that meat at the temple itself. They were letting their flesh take them to the edge of their liberty. They were living on the edge of their freedoms. And all the while they're saying, we're fine, Paul. We got this. No problem. We're totally good. Paul was warning them, be careful. You think you're standing, but you're really close to the edge. Be careful lest you think you're standing in case you fall. This is Paul's warning. Verse 8, Paul gives them another warning. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them, the Israelites, committed and fell in one day 23,000. Don't commit fornication. Don't be immoral. This is the second way Paul connects Israel's failures to the danger that the Corinthian church family was in, that they were oblivious to, that they were walking without ever realizing how close they were to the edge. Now, the first part was the beginning. The second part is kind of towards the end of Paul's journey to the first trip to Canaan land, where they're walking all the way, getting close into Canaan, and they go through this region called Moab. Now, Moab is interesting because a prophet lived there. Many of you know Balaam the prophet, right? He had a donkey, and he was planning, the king of Moab hired Balaam to curse the Israelites. But as Balaam tried to curse the Israelites, God would not let him. And he gave him words of blessing instead of cursing. Well, Balaam continued to try to curse the Israelites. And finally, one day, as he was going, the donkey stopped him in his tracks and started talking to him. Remember Balaam's donkey that talked back to him, said, "Why are you trying to beat me for? I didn't do anything. I'm protecting your life." Well, this Balaam did not stop at that point. Because if you keep reading, if you read another part of the Bible, it talks about how Balaam had then decided to give advice to the king of Moab to help the Israelites to fall. And that advice came in Revelation 2, but also we're going to look at what happened, Numbers 25. He advised the king to tempt the Israelites to be immoral with their women instead. "I can't curse them. Here's how you help them to mess up. Give them a temptation and let them fall for it." Numbers 25, 1 through 3 says this, "And Israel abode in Shittim, which is a part of Moab, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab." They messed up. They did something they should not have done. They fell for the temptation. They messed up. But it continues. Verse 2 says this, "And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods." Hey, why don't you come over? Come over and spend time with us. We're getting ready to have sacrifices for our gods. So why don't you eat the meat that's offered to these sacrifices? They called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat, and then they went worse and bowed down to their gods. This time it's the other direction. One sin led to another sin, which led to idolatry. Verse 3, "And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." Notice how one sin leads to another sin, which leads to another sin. The Israelites fell for immorality, but it didn't stop there. They continued. They went to meat, eating meat offered to idols, and then to idol worship itself. This is how John, the apostle of Jesus, describes this whole thing in a warning to an entirely different church using this example. Revelation 2, verse 14 says this, "But I have a few things against thee," talking to that other church, "because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak," that's the king, "to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." See, they thought they were fine. They're almost there. We're right there. We're so close. And yet they messed up. And because they messed up, many of the Israelites paid for their mess up. You see why Paul tells the Corinthian church to be careful, to watch where you are, to pay attention? Do you see the connection that he's trying to make for them? It's true. Meat offered to idols, sacrificed to idols, there's not anything bad in and of themselves, but they sure lead you closer and closer to the edge. Don't let the lust of your freedoms, I want this, bring you to the edge. Don't do that. Don't let your flesh take you to the edge of your freedoms. If you think you're standing, be careful. You might fall. Be on guard. Don't let your flesh disqualify you from glorifying God. The third way, there's four of them. This is the third one that Paul connects Israel's failures to the danger of the Corinthians that the Corinthians were oblivious to. Verse 9 says this, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents." Don't tempt Jesus. The Israelites had this tendency. They wanted to push, they often tried to do this. They pushed God all the way to the edge. Sometimes kids do this. I know none of the kids here do this, but I remember it's easy for somebody to do. I can remember one of my brothers. I won't say which one it was, but one of my brothers, mom had told one of my brothers, maybe it was me. No, it couldn't have been me. I was a really good kid. I remember mom told one of my brothers to stay out of the room. Don't go into the room. And you know what he did? Probably something I did too. He was looking at mom to see if she was watching. And then he would put one toe into the room. Just one toe. And see if she would do anything. And then he would put the other toe in. And then he would put the third. Well, I don't know if you could figure it out. Just he'd like, keep nudging it in there. How far can I go before I get in trouble? Have you guys done anything like that? Don't touch that. Put your hand right there, right close to that, right? Don't touch that. Get closer and closer and closer. Nobody's done that, right? And then one finger just barely like come like you just like you're not supposed to touch the paper. You're like just barely hovering over it. You're 1 centimeter away from it, not touching it. And then your brother comes and slaps your hand and you touch it. And then you're in big trouble, right? That's what the children of Israel were doing. They were tempting God. They were pushing him right to the edge. What can we get away with? How far can we go? Paul says, don't do that. That's one of the most foolish things you can do. Don't do that. How close can you get? This is what Israel constantly did in the wilderness. They were blessed by God abundantly, and yet they were never satisfied. They were constantly pushing God. And often they were pushing him about his provision for them. It's not enough. It's not enough, God. We want more. What you give us, this is nothing. We want more. Do you remember when God sent serpents, fiery serpents, into the nation of Israel? And then Moses had to hurry up and make this bronze snake and set it up on a pole. And anybody who looked at it was rescued from the bite of these poisonous snakes, these fiery snakes. Do you remember that story? Do you know why God sent those serpents? Let me show you what started it. And this is what Paul's talking about. They were destroyed by serpents. Numbers 21, verses 5 and 6 says this. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Why did you bring us all the way over here to die, Moses? This is terrible. God doesn't love us. God doesn't take care of us. Even though he had been blessing them so much. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Oh, this stuff is like nothing. This is so light. Oh, it's just terrible. We want real bread. We want baguettes, bagels. We want to go back to Costco. That's where we want to go. That's kind of like what they were talking about. That is actually, they had done that so much, they would not stop pushing God, tempting God to the edge. They kept pushing God, pushing the grace of God until he finally said, all right, that's enough. We're done. I'm stopping the car. We're going to have a conversation. And they had a conversation, and it was not good. That's a lot like what the Corinthians were doing. They were pushing the limit. They were going to the edge of their liberty, seeing what they could get away with. The problem was that, and we'll see this later when Paul is talking about how they were abusing the Lord's Supper. The problem was that they were already going too far in pushing God. They were already going too far, and people were actually dying because of it. They thought they were fine. They thought they were okay, but already they were starting to slip and fall, not realizing how close they were to the edge. Finally, let's look at the fourth way. I think this one is much easier for us to do than maybe some of the others, but it's important that we pay attention to this. Verse 10 says this, 1 Corinthians 10:10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Don't complain. there was one thing the children of Israel was good at as they went through the wilderness, it was complaining. It was constant. It's like driving to the car to your new home. Mama gives you, or mom and dad buy you ice cream, and you're like, I wanted chocolate, not vanilla. They buy you a cheeseburger. I wanted a hamburger, not a cheeseburger. Constant complaining, constant complaining. Even with all the blessings God had given them. And yet, they consistently found ways to complain. Why? Why would they complain? Why would they complain? There's a reason. They weren't satisfied with what God had given them. They chose not to be satisfied, and it came, that dissatisfaction came out of their mouths as complaining. They're complaining, the choosing not to be satisfied in God and His provision for them, and the outward effect of that, their complaining had caused them to fall. So Paul tells the Corinthian church family, he says, be careful, learn from the Israelites. Don't let your heart get so close to the edge. Don't disqualify yourself from glorifying God by choosing not to trust Him, by choosing not to obey Him, and by choosing not to find satisfaction in them. This is exactly what they were doing. And it was done by one of the men. The whole conversation here that Paul is talking about was when Korah. Korah is one of the leaders of the Israelites, a Levite. You know the people who took care of the tabernacle? One of those leaders went to Moses and started complaining. Verse 13 and 14. This is what he says in Numbers 16, verse 13. This is crazy. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey? Do you see what he's saying? He's saying Egypt was the land that flowed with milk and honey. You brought us up out of the land that flows with milk and honey, what? To kill us in the wilderness. Even with what God was doing and even where God was leading them. This is what Korah is saying. We're continuing on. Verse 13, except thou makest thyself altogether a prince over us. You're making yourself the leader. I don't know why you have to keep being the leader. I want to be the leader. Verse 14, moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land which floweth milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Continuing on, wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. We're done, Moses. We're not going to come up and help you with this. We're not going to do anything. We're done. We're tired of this. Korah was complaining a lot. And so what God ended up doing was swallowing up those who followed Korah into the middle of the earth. The earth just swallowed them whole. This was pushing God to the edge, complaining. And so Paul says, Corinthian church family, be careful of where you're walking. See the steps you are taking on your spiritual journey. You're getting really close to the edge. Don't let your flesh push you to the edge of your liberties and then cause you to fall. And it's important for us to do the same. Finally, Paul says in verses 11 and 12, as we sum all of this up, and this is where we'll finish. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition. They're written for us so that we learn from them, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This is for us, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. This is a good warning. Where are you pushing the edge? Find where that is and back away from it. Don't walk so close to the edge that you could slip and fall spiritually. Let the Holy Spirit help you and teach you and guide you and say, look, and look, you're getting close there. Don't go there. Repent. Turn back. Find satisfaction in God. Find trust in God. Obey Him. Get back on the safe path. as you follow Jesus. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the ways that you have taught us today. Boy, what an important reminder. There's so many ways we can apply this to our lives, so many different areas. Just four examples that we saw from the life of Israel in that journey from Egypt to Canaan. And yet how many ways we could apply that to our lives. Holy Spirit, this week, help us to be able to see things that we're getting a little bit too close to the edge, spiritually speaking. Help us to repent of it. Reveal our areas of sin. And then help us to be able to repent of it and to be able to flee the temptation that our lust brings into our lives. Help us to grow from it. In Jesus' name, amen.